Brian Lehrer on WNYC, thanks again for listening. Today we are 10 days into the rollout of the Obamacare health insurance exchanges, and it seems to be going so-so. The online systems have been totally bogged down, probably a mix of high demand, which is good, and bugs in the system. But as of Tuesday, over 40,000 people had signed up in New York, a number the state exchange was proud to report. You might have heard last week when we introduced you to some Ryan Lehrer Show mini crew listeners from New York and New Jersey in the market to buy insurance through the exchanges. Some of them are back to tell us, first of all, if they've been able to log on and how the search for affordable health care is going. They are Pilar from Brooklyn, Bob from Montclair, and Karen from Westfield. We're also joined by WNYC health reporter Fred Bogle, who is following this rollout closely and will help explain why some area hospitals are opting out and generally help us make sense of all that's happening. Welcome back, everybody.
Good morning, Brian.
And morning. Pilar, let's start with you. To remind people, you're a 28-year-old uninsured contract associate TV producer at CBS. You're one of those young, healthy people Obamacare needs to enroll in order to succeed. Have you done it?
Well, I've been trying, and I've been trying through the website for the past couple days, and it appears to be working, but it's really not. So they're recommending that we wait a couple days before we actually sign up through online. What they're recommending is people go and visit someone in person called a navigator, and those people are located in your area that you're trying to sign up for, and they will help you in person.
How far did you get on the New York State Exchange website? Like, did it ask you for some information to plug in order to figure out how much of a plan would cost you?
It basically asked me, like, all the questions, like, if you were signing up for a Gmail account, what's your name, your birthday, stuff like that. And then it skipped my income, and that's when I knew the website wasn't working, because it then spit out a cost of a monthly payment of $307, which I knew wasn't right. So I called their helpline, and the helpline immediately assisted me. And they told me exactly how much I would be able to pay every month and what exactly I could get for my money.
I'm curious, how did you know that $307 a month, which is not the most expensive health plan in the world, even though it's still over $3,000 a year, how did you know that was wrong?
I researched it a couple months ago, and I realized that I was eligible for an advanced premium monthly tax credit. And so I knew, like, my health care bill wasn't going to be anywhere over $200. And my tax credit, they told me yesterday, is going to be $280, which means that
wait,
I can...
Wait, $280 from $307? Are you going to get health insurance for $27 a month?
Well, I found out for the health insurance plan that I want, I am going to get it for about $115 a month. And that's a gold plan with dental, and, you know, it's a pretty good plan.
So they have these four levels, Fred Mogul, bronze, silver, gold, which
platinum,
Pilar chose, and platinum is the highest.
Right, and those tax credits, you can almost, they're complicated because people don't necessarily think in terms of them. Think of it almost like a voucher or a gift certificate. Basically, your income qualifies you for X amount of dollars. The less money you make, the more generous the gift certificate. And you can kind of go shopping with that. It'll go a lot farther in a bronze plan than a platinum plan, but you can use it on anything but the catastrophic plans. You can't use it for that.
So depending on your income, you get a flat subsidy, or in market terms, you get a discount coupon, and you can apply that same flat amount to whichever expense of plan you want to purchase.
Right. And at the lower end of the spectrum, where you're around the poverty level, twice the poverty level, on top of that, you actually get an added bonus. Basically, they give you an automatic step up to a gold or platinum plan in addition to that voucher that you're getting.
And one other thing, Pilar, before we bring in some other folks as well, you told us that you chose a particular provider, Health Republic. That's the insurance company?
Yeah, it's a particularly good one for freelancers like myself. And I don't really know why I chose it other than, you know, it's specifically designed for freelancers.
All right.
That is the Freelancers Union, by the way. People might have heard of that. That's a brand that's been out there. They've been providing insurance, not so cheap, but cheaper insurance to freelancers for quite a few years. In this age of insurance markets, they produced this product called Health Republic.
Well, Fred, I had someone ask me off the air yesterday, and I think this would be applicable to a lot of listeners. Are they better off buying the Freelancers Union health insurance plan, which has been out there, if they're members of the Freelancers Union, or going on to the Obamacare exchanges? Is it not an either-or proposition? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not sure how the prices compare. That'd be a pretty straightforward comparison. Then again, if you qualify for the subsidy is only available in the exchange. So, you know, if you're up to 400% of the poverty line, around $45,000 for an individual, 90-some-odd thousand for a family of four, you get at least some subsidy. So that would only be in the exchange.
All right. Pilar, stay there. And any other listeners out there want to call up and tell us if Pilar's experience is similar to or different from yours? Anyone successfully sign up yet in New York or New Jersey or Connecticut or anywhere you're listening? You 40,000 or so New Yorkers who did it so far, call up and tell us how this ended for you. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's go to another member of our Brian Lehrer Show mini crew shopping for health insurance starting on October 1st. Karen, hi.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on again. And you are looking for insurance for you, your husband, and two kids. And since you live in New Jersey, you're using the Federal Exchange System website since Governor Christie opted out of running their own for New Jersey. And we've heard in general that the state ones are working better than the federal one, healthcare.gov. And I understand you're pretty frustrated, yes?
I am very frustrated. I wish I had Pilar's luck. I'm much more disillusioned this week than I was last week. Just cannot get on fully to the system. Every time I do, I get another type of error message. So there's not just one small IT problem. There's many.
Hmm. Have you been able to call a telephone helpline as Pilar did, or have you tried that?
I have tried that as well, and they did not offer me any help other than to keep trying and, you know, give it a few weeks.
Really? What happens when you call the hotline? Why can't they answer specific questions, since it sounds like you get through to a human being?
I do get through to a human being. I had many questions. They asked for what error message I had, and each time I called, it was a different error message. I was put on hold for a while. I mean, I've been trying to get onto the site, I would say, 10 times for 10 days. And sometimes I get a little further, and sometimes I can't even sign on. I am a little concerned. The furthest I got was filling out many, many pages of somewhat sensitive information, and I was afraid to sign it electronically. I got to that part, a little afraid to sign it because I don't know what I'm signing, so I haven't seen any dollar amounts. I haven't seen any insurance carriers, any plans.
Fred Mogul, WNYC health reporter, help Karen out. What's happening with New Jersey, or should I say what's happening with healthcare.gov?
Well, it's interesting because, as you noted, the state systems overall do seem to be handling it a little bit better, which makes sense, right? There's about one-third of the states developed their own, and then the federal government developed them for two-thirds of states led by people like Chris Christie, who didn't want Obamacare and opted to let the feds do it. So it stands to reason that a bigger system for two-thirds of the states would be clunkier, to put it mildly. You know, it's funny because among the states, at least one of the states, Minnesota, I think, put a lot more information up front and didn't make you register for all this just to get in and poke around. New York's does, and the federal government's does. So there's a lot of these log jams just because these are, we kind of, and I've said this before, compare them to Expedia and Travelocity. The previous caller compared it to signing up for a Gmail account. But these are very, very complicated signups with a lot of the sensitive data and a lot of these different systems that need to interact between the federal government and the states and different agencies here and there, and they're just, you know, not responding to this volume of interest?
Let's take a phone call from George in Manhattan, because it looks like George is using one of those navigators that the government is providing and that Pilar mentioned to help go through this system with him. George, you there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon. Yes, good morning, Brian. As soon as the navigator system was announced about 2.5 months ago, I went to one of the major ones in New York and said, can you give me somebody to talk to? And ultimately, the next day, I did. And we went at some length over the matter. By the way, it's George of the Upper West Side, so I've called it many times to you in the past.
I know your voice.
Okay. Anyway, the point here is that we agreed that about 2 weeks before October the 1st, she would call me, and we would discuss the items that I had brought up, and I didn't want to push, but I figured I'd do it before the chaos set in. I'm afraid I predicted this kind of thing would happen. So she didn't, and she only reached me this week. And what was extraordinary was her own frustration. She herself was unable to get in to do certain things, including what I had asked her about. And I think it's of some importance to your listeners that they consider the following. I take a variety of prescription drugs, and all the health insurers, whether they are the government system, whether it's this new exchange system, or it's just a classic medical insurer, have what's called a formulary. And the formulary determines which drugs they will reimburse for, and they then define tiers. Generally, it's 1, 2, or 3. Mm-hmm. And on the basis of those tiers, they'll tell you the amount that they will reimburse you, and you therefore have to cover the other stuff. Some drugs are simply not allowed. Well, let's put it this way. You can take them. Your doctor prescribes them, but you have to pay for them completely yourself.
So part of your shopping has been to work with the navigator to figure out if the medications you take are covered and at what level on the different Obamacare plans.
That's exactly the point.
Yes. Well, George, thank you. And that's a really important point to make, I think, Fred. That's a particular tip that's probably useful for a lot of people in terms of how to shop for plans.
Right. And we've said this, that, and it stands to reason again, that if you buy a platinum or gold, you will pay more up front, but you'll have a little more flexibility. You'll get a little more generous reimbursement on the back end. That's just the nature of it. If you know you're a heavy user, you know you have a lot of prescriptions, it just depends on whether you have the financial wherewithal to pay a little more up front like that.
Of course, a big problem for most people is that unless you're already on some medications, like George is, you don't know what disease you're going to get. You don't know what medications you're going to need. You don't know what hospitals or doctors you're really, really going to want to go to for something. And so a lot of it is a pig in a poke.
Right. And the system is being, will be challenged by this for a while, not just the enrollment volume, but frankly by the people who are first in line are really likelier to be the heavy users and the people who are eager for a reason, because they have health problems, because they have complex prescription drug needs.
Before we go to Bob in Montclair, another member of the Brian Lehrer Show mini crew shopping for health insurance since the exchanges opened on October 1st, Karen, let me ask you one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
I gather that you were trying to use the subsidy calculator. Did you do that?
I wasn't able not to do it. I didn't think we would necessarily qualify, but I was curious, and it wasn't giving me an option to do either. It just kept asking me questions.
There are some private ones, Fred, like the Kaiser subsidy calculator, where people can get a ballpark estimate, if not from the government portal itself.
Right. That's an engine that's been up now for several months, and it should be more or less accurate, plus or minus, but the way that subsidy dovetails with the plans that are available for you is very much an open question, and it doesn't take into account things like the formularies the previous caller discussed and the deductibles and copays. Mm-hmm. That at the moment, you're still where we were 2 or 3 weeks ago, kind of piecing these things together and just to get kind of a back-of-the-envelope estimate.
So Bob from Montclair. Hi, Bob.
How are you doing, Brian?
Doing great, and thanks for your patience today. We talked to you last week about your search for insurance as part of your long-term plan, and you were saying that eventually, though you're insured now, you and your wife might want to move to a lower-cost area, and you're looking into this to see what kind of non-employment-based insurance would be available to you. So what did you find out?
Well, I found out that I'm currently in limbo as far as the system is concerned. I got online yesterday for the first time, probably tried half a dozen times, and it just wasn't available. And so yesterday morning, I signed in, and I started going through the process. And then in terms of the identity verification, it came upon, there were, like, I guess, four questions, and three of them I had easy answers to. And the fourth one asked me about whether I had purchased a certain kind of insurance. Well, it stated that I had purchased a certain kind of insurance for veterinary care, and gave me a choice of the name of the pet that I had insured. Luckily, one of the choices was none of the above, since I've never purchased such insurance. However, that the system didn't like that, and I was told to call Experian. You know, I was brought to a screen and given the phone number for Experian, and over the last day, I've spoken with two people at Experian and one person at the healthcare.gov site, and in terms of solving the problem, they seem to be pointing fingers at each other.
Yikes. So another bug to work out. And I gather that you have a 23-year-old daughter who does have a job with benefits, but you were telling us that it might make more sense to have her on your insurance now that you can until she's 26 under Obamacare. What about that aspect? Have you found out whether that would make sense for you and her?
We haven't gotten that far, just because I haven't been able to get into the system. One of the intriguing things this morning was after that third frustrating phone call, I noticed language on the screen under the title was "Your identity wasn't verified," and it gave the Experian number. But then there was a little note at the bottom: if you aren't able to call now, click here to continue to your application. And I'd just gotten through the application over the last hour or so, but it's basically told me I'm still in limbo because my identity has not been verified. Apparently, because they think I've had a pet that I insured once that I never had.
Weird.
Wow, that's maddening. And you don't have that many navigators to help you in New Jersey. They didn't apply for match funding, and there's a very small handful. But frankly, I'm not sure that even one of those professionally trained handholders would be able to get through that easily.
I'm curious, with the experiences and the problems that each of the three of you has been having, does it lead you to any more sympathy than you might have started out with for the Republican political position that the individual mandate should be delayed by a year? Pilar, have you given that any thought?
Could you say that again? I'm sorry, it cut out.
The problems that you've been having with the system, has it led you to any more sympathy for the Republican position that perhaps the individual mandate should be delayed by a year, and people could still do this voluntarily on the exchanges, but don't make people do it yet until it's a smoother ride?
Well, I think absolutely not. Like, I have no sympathies for people that want to delay it a year. I mean, we are necessary to work out the kinks in the system now, and part of the process of signing up for something new like this is that it's a bit frustrating. So, no, I'm more than willing to, like, wait a couple of days and try again.
Okay. I don't want to get too bogged down in politics and in these segments, which are, you know, really to see how it's going for some individuals, and I have no idea what any of your politics are. But, Bob, have you given that question any thought?
None whatsoever. At the age of 60, I understand that there's bureaucracy and you know, some issues in terms of getting through a system. And this is a system that clearly has just been created and is under a lot of stress, I'm sure. So I'm relatively patient with this, hoping that things will work out, because I've dealt with other bureaucratic issues in the past. This actually is the first time I've ever looked for individual health insurance, because to date we've been lucky enough to have the subsidized employer programs available through my wife's job or mine over the years.
Karen, anything to add to this?
No, I agree with both of them. It's a hot button issue, and we've been waiting many years for this, so still hopeful.
Margaret in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. My husband and I are trying to help our daughter find some insurance. She's currently under Healthy New York. And what we're finding at the sites, and particularly my husband, because he's doing the navigating, is that the range of doctors in the network is are in the networks are very limited, and we find that problematic. I wonder if you're if you can address that.
In fact, Fred Mogul, WNYC Health Reporter, you had a story this week, didn't you, about how some area hospitals are opting out of the Obama exchange plans?
Right, and it's complicated, and individual doctors have one set of things that they of considerations, then clinics, then hospitals, all kind of work things out a little bit differently. But at the end of the day, they make contracts with these insurers, and if it's worth their time, effort, and money, they're getting enough from the insurer, they'll sign into a network, and if it's not, they won't. I should say the networks are very much in flux. The insurance plans, when they submitted their applications to the state, had to construct a quote-unquote adequate network to be included to get past the regulators. But they didn't have that much time to get their applications together in a lot of ways. And so they're still signing up more hospitals, signing up more physicians groups, and so forth.
Margaret, go ahead.
Can you then recommend one that you think is doing that outreach in a more proactive way so that you end up with the most comprehensive, you know, when you're making the choice, you end up with a plan that's the most comprehensive and allows you more choice, the most choice?
Well, I certainly couldn't endorse a particular insurance plan, and it's very difficult at the moment to figure out who's in network where. The New York State website in particular eventually will have this capacity to get you, as you apply, get you into the networks and see whether your doctor or hospital is in there. At the moment, they just have a series of links per insurance plan. You click on this plan, they go to their provider book, but it's very, very difficult to navigate. That capacity, they say, will be there in the future, but obviously they've got a lot of other, even more basic kinks to work out.
And Margaret, I've heard that Healthy New York, that you're on now, is very good.
No, it's not.
It's not? In terms of the breadth of doctors available, no?
No. No, we've had to pay out of pocket for getting to a doctor of our choice. Definitely not. It's limited. And so one at least expects that. And that has been disappointing, that it doesn't seem to be even offering what Healthy New York is offering.
Interesting. Margaret, thank you very much. And I've seen, for example, that NYU Langone and New York Presbyterian are available as in-network choices in very few of the Obamacare plans on the New York State Exchange, whereas Mount Sinai, North Shore LIJ, Montefiore, and Maimonides are available in many more of the plans. Any idea why?
Well, again, this goes to the contracts they're negotiating, and they do all caution that it's ongoing. I was just talking to a consumer advocate earlier this morning. She said it's a game of musical chairs. Basically, both from the provider point of view and from the insurance plan point of view, there's kind of a risk management calculus. They have to price things in such a way that they will get enough volume of patients and they will get enough reimbursement. But there is this risk that, again, the people first online will be the sickest, and they really need a healthy, so to speak, mix of the relatively sick people and the relatively healthy people.
Which goes to something Pilar told us off the air. Pilar, what was that stat? Do you remember that they need a certain number of young people to sign up by April 1st or else prices are going to go up for everybody?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it has to be young people, but I think they need 7 million by April 1st. And I haven't, like, definitely fact-checked that number, but...
Right. So something in terms of generally younger, healthier people, Fred, otherwise, is it possible that the prices would go up already as soon as April 1st?
Well, around April 1st is when they start putting together their plans for the following year, for 2015. And it will be very fluid. I think people have relatively modest expectations about what will happen in year one. They're setting prices in such a way that they hopefully will get lots of people, but they're just going to have to evaluate how many people come in the door. And again, this goes for both the insurance plans and for the providers. And many people are staying on the sidelines waiting to see what will happen.
All right. So real quick, as we run out of time, Bob, what's your next step?
Try to figure out how I get my identity verified, because right now I'm in limbo.
And Karen, what's your next step?
Just going to keep plugging away at the website and see what kind of information I can get.
And Pilar?
I'm just going to wait a couple days like they recommended and try again.
Thank you all very much for being part of our Brian Lehrer Show mini crew shopping for health insurance on the Obamacare exchanges. We'll check back with you. Good luck.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
And WNYC's Fred Mogul, a last word.
Well, I think whatever happens, we certainly will see a lot of things evolving in the next 3 months as we go into January 1st, 2014, ideally from the point of view of Obamacare backers. The system will work itself out. But then we have to really brace for things to change and evolve as we go from 2014 to 2015, and we find out who's going in the first wave.
Oh, you know, I'm going to throw in another caller because we've heard so much frustration. Let's hear from Carlos, who I think is calling to say he had a positive experience. Carlos, hi, are you there?
Yes, good morning, Brian.
And you're New York State?
Yes, New York State, Holmes, New York.
Uh-huh.
And I went on the exchange early Monday morning. It sort of felt like I was helping my daughter fill out her FAFSA forms online. The website was generally smooth. There could be some little things that could be improved, such as when it gives you an error, you kind of have to scroll up to see what it is as opposed to seeing it right on that screen. But if you have some experience navigating websites and things, you can kind of figure it out. I did complete the forms and all the information, and it does generate some information from, like, your employers and things that were already on there, which made it simpler. Eventually it came up as, congratulations, you get $0. But for my son, who's 17, it did provide me a $47 a month plan, which it's super affordable.
Mm-hmm. Did you buy?
I'm sorry?
Did you buy?
I'm waiting for the bill.
Carlos, congratulations. You're now an owner of health insurance, at least for your son.
Yes. Thank you. And now I have to go pay full fare for mine.
Yeah. Sorry to hear it, but thank you very much. Call us again, Carlos, and thanks for checking in on this. James from Brooklyn, Fred, asks, please ask, if you work freelance, like myself, your income can vary widely year to year. How will my subsidy be calculated? If last year I made $90,000 and this year it's closer to $40,000, will I be able to afford the premium if it's based on last year's income?
Well, you are supposed to make your best guess for the next year, and obviously that's different. And a lot of freelancers, things fluctuate wildly. But nonetheless, this isn't new exactly. Freelancers very frequently are supposed to project their income at least out a quarter, and so you take your best guess, and then
when you fill out your 1040, your tax form, do you then get subsidy added or subtracted retroactively based on what your actual income was?
That's a good question. I know that you can certainly get it subtracted if you underestimate your income and therefore get too generous a subsidy.
They will, huh?
You will.
It becomes a tax
bill. It does stand to reason that it could go the other way, but I'm actually not quite sure about that.
WNYC's Fred Mogul, another thing to look up. Can people see your health reporting at WNYC.org?
They absolutely can. They can find out quite a bit.
Hear the pieces too?
Please.
Fred, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.